Chapter 23. Virginia. Grim Glory. In its initial moments, Lysander's charge is the picture of glory. His new destroyers, not lemons after all, surge out in front of the Lightbringer as soon as Phobos's orbit brings the moon into alignment with his fleet. Haughty and shining, Lysander's destroyers race into range of our guns. Aura begins to fire and the darkness of no man's land turns to light. First, the light of particle beams, lancing and primordial. Second, the light of rail slugs, blurred and dull. Third, the light of drones and missiles, glinting and canny. Fourth, the light of the enemy's flak, dusty and meagre. Then, all the light all at once as the enemy replies in kind. Loon's fleet disappears from the sensors in the energy wash of the conflagration. The first minute claims two destroyers. Overloaded by the volume of fire, the destroyers' shields turn opaque before the ships collapse inward. Their hulls peel open like burning paper, shredding away to reveal their twisted skeletons as they hurtle forward, their momentum unchecked. Imagining the hell on those destroyers, the screaming of shield sirens, the buckling bulkheads, the fire and the vacuum, I pity the crews for having to suffer the cost of a boy's high-born ambition. Glorious in its early thrust, Lysander's initial charge veers toward disaster as another destroyer is knocked out of formation and nearly collides with the Lightbringer behind it. Yet even as the Blues report damage to the enemy, I see Loon's gruesome logic at work. He gambled he could lose destroyers to gain kilometers, and, despite the best efforts of my Blues, his gamble is working. Not one destroyer is spared a shield failure or damage to its hull, but Loon's charge has soon passed the halfway mark to Phobos. The closer his ships come to Phobos, the less able the OBC guns are to hit them. Fewer guns by the second have a clear line of barrage, and we begin to feel the absence of Char's fleet. Another destroyer falls out of formation, slit down the center like firewood by the combined fire of Phobos's three space-facing citadels, including Bastion One. I shout for my Blues to analyze the debris for bodies. There should be armored infantry spilling out across space.
None, ma'am. Not a one.
All his men are likely on the Lightbringer, I say to Oro. The destroyers are empty. Maybe piloted remotely or by a suicide crew. Playing on a hunch, I order the Blues to concentrate their guns on the Lightbringer. Even the great ship is not unfazed by our deluge of fire. Soon its hull is cratered in 24 places, and its shield must cycle on and off to prevent itself from overloading. Then I glimpse the danger, the true danger, and correct my orders.
Fire back to the destroyers!
Oro protests.
The Lightbringer is the threat. The destroyers are empty.
Then why would they need to veer off their current trajectory, which is at present this moon? I snap. He's using the destroyers as battering rams, dammit. He's letting us shoot them down so they'll crash into our shields and bring them down for the Lightbringer. And then he's going to dump men down our throats.
Oro is appalled.
9 destroyers? But the waste? What's all that to a Loon? I snarl.
Of the 9 destroyers Loon started the charge with, 4 are already ruined and knocked off course. 5 are horrifically damaged, but unless we smash them off course, they will collide with Phobos's defensive shield, and when they do, the kinetic energy from their impact will be in the gigatons at least. Minutes tick past. Oro's guns knock another destroyer off its crash course. With 4 more inbound, I call my legates forward.
Goodman, it looks like this is going to come down to infantry. Loon wants Phobos. The fleet is busy, they cannot help us. You will soon be all that stands in his way.
Then the first destroyer hits the moon's main shield. Inside the nucleus, we feel and hear nothing. Then 2 more destroyers hit almost at once, and the nucleus trembles. Outside, above Phobos's starlit cityscape, the shield shivers and turns crimson. I make a quick calculation, weighing the force of the destroyer yet to hit and the strength remaining in the weakened shield. My math is sloppy, but there's no time to balk.
Lower the shield,
I order. Oro's second-in-command turns, aghast. His accent is Phobosian.
That destroyer will impact the hive. It's not fully evacuated. Lower the shield,
I order directly to the shield officers. They stare wide-eyed at me. I jerk my head at Holiday, and she bursts up on her grav boots and puts a rifle to the blue operator's temple. Finally, he lowers the shield. The last the cameras report is a metal blur before perfect white. The nucleus falls silent. The moon itself groans. Whole columns of sensors die. Alarm lights glow. Officers turn to stare at me, jaws on the floor. Even Holiday looks startled, as if she's only just realized what she's done on my orders. She removes her rifle from the blue's head and returns to me with a blank expression.
Sovereign, what have you done?
Oro whispers from his sink.
Triage, Kallax replies for me. Damage report when you have one, I say. I want a visual of the surface. Engineering, what's the damage to the shields?
The orange engineering officer looks like she's seen a ghost. Engineers report 4 nexuses have melted through their inhibitor shells.
But we're spared a general overload, Kavix asks for me again.
Yes, sir.
How many seconds till we can get them back up?
He asks.
Seconds? It will be a quarter hour at least. If we don't wait that long, the radiation levels will kill anyone who goes in there, even in a rad suit. Tell your shield teams that I need the main shield back up over Sector 1 in 5 minutes or we lose Phobos, I say.
The engineer blinks at me, then Kavix.
I know those men.
Good, so they will know the importance of their sacrifice, I say.
Do it, officer, Kavix says. Do it now.
Oro's second watches the exchange, looking like he's about to strike me, which for a blue is saying something. He's not the only one.
We have a visual on the surface,
a blue calls.
Main screen, Kavix orders.
Faces fall as their worst fears are realized. Images from the surface crackle above us. Maybe they thought I had a magic trick up my sleeve, something that would make my order less monstrous. They are sorely disappointed. It's not that kind of day. The devastation from the destroyer's impact is incredible. It seared off the tops of 100 spires and made an impact crater with a radius of more than 2 kilometers wide. I've never seen so much debris in zero-G. Entire starscrapers and monuments to heroes float like motes of dust up from a punched sofa cushion. Beyond the moon, the shattered city and the impact crater, neither our shields nor the stars can be seen any longer. The war-battered belly of the Lightbringer has become the sky, and it creeps closer as the great ship hard breaks to hover barely a kilometer over the tallest starscraper. Then the Lightbringer fires on Phobos with whatever guns it has left. Oro trains the guns of Phobos and fires back. It becomes a slugging match. My moon and Loon's moonbreaker go at it like 2 bare-knuckled brawlers tied together, punching and obliterating each other's delicate features at close range. Oro glares at me. His sync connection must have been broken by damage to subterranean hardlines. He discards his useless circlet. The guns are now under the control of their on-site manual redundancy teams. He strides over and says in a quiet voice,
"My sovereign, the shield could have withstood that impact."
Maybe, but the kinetic whiplash would have overloaded the entire system. It would be down for a day or more. Now Loon's landing zone has so much debris that his Praetorians will shoot him if he orders them to make landfall in it. He'll have to adjust, shift north toward Bastion 1. Sector 1, where he'll be in range.
Of what? Retaliation, Kavix says.
He's already set Sophocles down and begun field-checking his armor. Sure enough, the Lightbringer recognizes the impossibility of the crater, and the ship sacrifices its surprise to begin a slow shift north. Loon's captain is good, and rotates the ship to hide its cratered belly and present fresh guns. The ship completes a full turn so that, when it reaches its new landing zone, its original side is facing down toward the moon. Then all its fighters and bombers, held back for the assault, flow out its hangars like a plague of locusts.
I send ours from Bastion 1 and its adjacent fortresses, Bastions 2 and 8.
Then Holiday curses in disgust.
Familiar silhouettes fall from the Lightbringer toward the surface of Phobos's cityscape. Loon didn't just bring battering rams. He brought claw drills, too. Hundreds of them.
He's aping Darrow, Kallax says, and kneels to stroke Sophocles' head.
The fox has started to whine with anxiety. He can always tell when Kavix is about to leave.
I patch into the squadron commanders. Ignore enemy fighters. Fire on those claw drills. Bring them down before they hit the surface.
Holiday motions forward to the commander of Bastion 1's Legion, Red Legion 1. The stocky red thumps forward, fists balled, one hateful eye on me, the other still on the crater the destroyer made in Phobos's cityscape. Leg it down low. Those drills allow them to bypass the bastions and the defense levels. They will land north of the crater and south of Bastion 1. They will chew through the starscrapers and the surface into the moon's interior, and Praetorians will pour in like water. It's up to you and Red Legion 1 to stop their downward penetration before they get to the core and the reactors. Make contact and kill those drills. Plug the breach as best you can. Hawk Legion and Hermanthus Legion will press in laterally from Bastions 2 and 8 to reinforce and stop their lateral movement.
They'll be able to put men on hundreds of levels from the drill shafts, he warns. I don't know if we can contain them.
Which is why we will also attack them on the surface at the breaches themselves. Tell your Drachenjäger commander that Kavix is on his way and will lead the charge.
Silence greets my announcement.
Go!
With a salute, he storms away with his officers to join his legions.
Holiday returns to fit me in my armor. Engineering, where are we on the shields? I ask.
The engineer falters.
Mum.
Speak up, man, Kavix barks.
My sovereign, I cannot give the order. Those are good men and women. If we don't wait for the radiation to pump out, they'll die.
Get those shields up, or go tell your family they will pay because you wouldn't. We are here to do our jobs,
Kavix booms. Then to all,
war requires monstrous deeds. If you cannot be a monster, then get out of the way.
The engineering officer falters, unable to give the order, but I already opened a line to the shield rooms.
They heard Kavix. A steady, distant voice replies.
My sovereign, that is a loon out there, the voice asks.
A woman's.
The last one, and his Praetorians.
You need the shields up to attack them?
Yes. If they hold their landfall on the surface, their allies can pour in behind them. We need to wipe them from those breaches. Teach loon's allies the only thing here is death.
The engineer on the line takes an unsteady breath. I can sense they are confirming with their colleagues.
The shields will go online in 10 minutes. We will see to it personally.
Name?
Rank?
I ask.
Centurion Morani Lagarde.
Thank you, Centurion Lagarde. I hail your name.
Hail Linehart. Lagarde out.
In 10 minutes, Lagarde will likely be dead.
More martyrs for the cause. So many martyrs.
I turn to Kavix. He is saying his farewells to Sophocles.
When the high gates open, we'll release the reserve ripwings. You and the mechs must wait for the shield, or you'll be torn apart from space, I tell him.
Kavix, I have waged war before, he says,
and kisses Sophocles on the mouth.
I love you, little one. Be brave for Virginia. She has the beans now.
He stands and hands me his pack of jelly beans.
I wish I could go with you, I say.
Your value is here. You must guide the legions. Plug the holes in our defense.
Take my lines from the hangars with you, I offer.
No, you will need them to reinforce the legions,
he says.
I will see you soon, I say, and look for him to validate my hope. But the look he gives me is not that of a father to a child. Not any more. We are peers now, and we know we may never see each other again. I clasp his hand.
Good hunting.
Sophocles, stay. I shall return.
His men take a conical attachment off the back of his armor and hand it to my centurion Virgilus.
look after him, yes. He's grown tender in his old age.
Sophocles watches Kavax go and begins to shake. I can't watch. I turn back to the display and observe my legions making their way through the trams and sprint through the corridors as I try to guess where the enemy will drill. I steel my heart for the battle to come. When Sophocles begins to howl, I know Kavax has left the nucleus. Part of my heart marches off with him. I stuff the jelly beans into the pocket of my armor that holds the splinter of the gallows.